If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick."
Fuck you, Dad!
Welcome to another episode of Fuck You, Dad. You know what it is. Today, we've got another North Carolina comedian. He went to New York City. Now he's back, sharing the heat with us on the airwaves. It's Dehaj Hendrick, everybody. How's it going, Dehaj?
What up, man? I'm good. I'm all right.
Good to have you. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah. Thank you for having me.
I know we talked about this off air a little bit, but I always ask the comedians who I have on, the first question I just blast out is what was the last show you did?
Annie Lowe in North Carolina did a show. I did that like 2 days ago. I did very okay. Not great.
Very okay.
Very okay.
And it was at Hoots Brewing Company, right?
Hoots Bar in Winston-Salem. It was outside.
Dude, that was my stomping grounds. Like, that was where,
yeah.
Like, you know how each mic you feel like you learned something different?
Yeah.
Hoots, I feel like I really learned how to just stall on stage. Because And they also let me host a couple times. Like, my first time hosting was there. So you got some of those chops in.
Yeah.
But yeah. They would, like, Annie would give me so much time towards the end of Hoots, especially if you were at the end of the lineup and everyone was just hammered. I remember people sitting in those dark booths and stuff and us literally standing on, like, a homemade stage made out of a shipping, you know, those, what are those fucking things? The pallets.
Yeah. A fucking pallet jack.
Yeah, a pallet. Else. And then it was some janky ass light structure, yeah. And but real DJ. It was just an overturned lamp.
An old lamp. I think it was a candelabra. It wasn't even a lamp. It was like an old lantern.
That's a real open mic. People in this city and probably in New York think like, oh, open mics are like when there's like 200 comics and everyone's on their phone in some bar. No, it's Hell with a no. shitty lamp. There's 11 comics. And everyone's blackout drunk by the end.
I mean, it sounds like you're just performing at a construction site. You're like, there's a pallet, there's what? I'm like, is there a cover? Is there shelter? I like how, like, even the stage is, there's nothing about that open mic that isn't under, like, serious renovation. Like, the jokes aren't done, the stage
yeah.
jokes
yeah, yeah,
the
yeah.
stage like, venue's done. Not done. The people aren't done figuring out who the fuck they are.
No, yeah. not, nothing's done there.
And no one, nothing's done. It's everything is 50%.
The people are the least renovated thing there. The people need the most amount of work.
I remember
a condemned building.
Yeah, the people need to be shut down. Fumigated,
caution tape. Truly, most comedians need caution tape literally wrapped around them.
100% all the time. Don't go in. Don't conversate with. Don't engage. Don't look at them. Don't look at them.
I remember I did a awful open mic set there one time and I was outside and some guy came from inside the bar outside to me and he was like, "You're really brave." And I saw I saw him wearing a jacket with a bunch of badges on it, like a veteran badges and stuff, or he had like one of those hats that said veteran on it. And I was like, "Nah, man, you're brave. You're a veteran." And he was like, "Yeah, I went to Afghanistan, but I could never do that." And I was like, "Oh shit,
what?
That's how bad I bombed." That's how bad I bombed. Is that man was like, "This is warfare right now. This is worse than live warfare."
I would literally rather see my friend blown to pieces than watch you bomb talking about Tinder on stage. Like, at least he died with dignity. Like, no one knows. That is a shameful death up there.
So at that point, I was probably just yelling about not having sex and pooping. That was my set most of the time.
I was like, wait, he was like, "I've seen a lot of explosions. This is truly gonna scar me."
That is so fun. I can't believe you've never brought that up before. That it's like, yeah, it's a war veteran saw my set and felt sorry for me.
He felt
like,
bad.
He was
for
like,
me.
"I don't know how you had the breath. I've looked death in the face." bat into its face. And I could not stand on stage and degrade
myself. Do what you just did.
Yeah.
he took off his purple heart and pinned it to you. Like, you earned this. I'm not shit. You're a real hero. What you just did, I've never seen before.
Yeah, God damn.
Oh, my God. So many crazy things happen at Hoops. Like, you know, stupid shit like that.
My favorite is that my friend Alex Olinger, another funny comedian,
hell yeah,
was on stage trying to buy time.
That's what
it was, like a craft beer place with dogs.
It is, of course,
funniest,
of course,
like, failed riff I've ever seen. He just looks around, he's like, "What is this, a dog bar or something?" It was like just the most out of steam, like nothing observation. Yeah. He was just trying to, what? Oh, is this a dog bar?
His brain took the two first things he saw. He was like, I'm in bar, and there's a dog.
Let me just...
It was like the most perfect, horrible riff I've ever heard in my
life. Yeah.
I joke forever. Just like...
he just like, lobbed it up.
Prophetically, like, perform and try to get, like, a, you know, fill this hole in our lives that we'll never be able to fill otherwise or something. Like, we would just... We would just always say or something.
What are we, fooling ourselves into thinking this could be a real career? What are we? Okay. Huh? I seen one time I seen Olinger at upstairs at Goodnight.
Yeah.
And I just watched Olinger just have a complete meltdown. It was so funny. But he wasn't even doing that bad, but it was started
meltdowns immediately. They were completely unwarranted.
That's the thing about his meltdowns is he never needs to do them. Like, a lot of meltdowns you see, you go, oh, there it is. That's been coming.
It's happening.
But Alex's were like, wait, he's melted down now? Like,
it was truly like, hey, everyone, thanks for coming out. And maybe the clap wasn't that strong. And then he'd be on the floor in the fetal position. And you're like, 100%. You're like, give it a goddamn second.
100%. Somebody touched the thermostat. He just folded up like a worm. I was like, oh, my Lord.
He also created the theme song for this podcast. So yeah, shout out, Alex.
Hell yeah. And he's listening. I'm
fucking around. Hilarious. But it was
Yeah.
He was on the floor, bro.
Yeah.
Oh my God. The floor is just one of those things where you're like, yeah, got it. Come on, man. You're like, just say the jokes into the void and kick yourself at home like the rest of us.
I will never let the audience, I will never let them think they made me feel that bad.
Fall to the ground, for Christ's sake.
On the inside. You fall down inside.
You go to unexplorable depths within. You don't just fall down and start crying on stage.
Not on the stage. Don't give them the satisfaction, because they enjoyed it.
They love that.
Yeah, they love to see you squirm. I have over this weird fucking
this person. Oh, yeah. You thought you were going to bring me joy, you fucker? No.
Yeah.
Oh, so funny. Yeah.
So, Dehaj, did you grow up in Winston?
Born and raised, baby.
Hell yeah.
Yes, sir.
What kind of kid were you growing up? Like, were you the funny guy, or did you get in a lot of trouble? Because I feel like you'd be kind of like a more quiet one, sort of like sneaking through the grass.
I think that's a good way to put it. Yeah, I think I was like the funny kid and kind of like mischievous, like a little bit of both.
What kind of stuff would you get into? Like, your mischief?
I mean, we lived in, like, this neighborhood when I was young. And, like, me and my cousin, we, like, I don't know what my cousin did. We were trying to have, like, this, like, all right, we're going to have a clubhouse. So there was, like, this abandoned apartment. And somehow my cousin, like, watched the maintenance men. And, like, when they left, they were finished with the apartment, like, fixing up. He, like, got in somehow, and he told me about it. And then we had, like, this little clubhouse thing, and we would just kind of go in there and just, like, fuck around.
That sounds like every kid's dream, just to have an apartment just to fuck up.
Yeah. I like you said it was, like, a clubhouse. I'm like, you just had an apartment.
We broke
into an apartment.
Broke into an apartment. Yeah, you know, we just fucked around, broke into an apartment.
Opened the fridge a lot. It was fun.
Yeah, I recently remembered, like, when I was a kid, my mom worked in my elementary school as, like, the front desk lady. She wasn't a teacher. She was just, like, the secretary. Right. So after every day of school, I would have to wait around, like, 45 minutes to an hour to go home. because my mom would give me a ride because she worked there, obviously. And then so for a while, I just sit in the office. But as I grew up, like fourth, fifth grade, she just kind of like let me roam free, which is the worst decision. You should never let a kid that age roam free anywhere. All they want to do is fuck things up.
Destroy everything. Yeah.
So I would be really dumb. I mean, so I would go to class. I go into classrooms that I wouldn't be going in. These are like random classrooms, and I would just take stuff from one kid's desk and put it in the other kid's desk.
Yes.
Or like take the teacher's like pen and put it in a desk somewhere, or like take the name tags and like switch them all around. I was creating chaos that I wouldn't even watch.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. Yeah.
Yeah. It's truly sinister. I feel
really,
like.
Over exaggerating what you're doing. It was creating chaos that I wouldn't even be a part. You're making it sound like you had a bomb that was gonna go off after you died. You moved a name tag around.
I was destabilizing their economy.
I was creating chaos on a global scale. I was turning society on an axis and watching itself watch itself in the mirror. You're like
watching it burn.
Yeah.
Okay, Kenan. Sure, I could be over exaggerating, but imagine this scenario. This kid Kaylee opens her thing and goes, "Where's my binder? Where's my binder? Someone stole my binder." And then Kyle goes, "Is this it?" And then she goes, "Kyle, you stole my binder." And then they get in a fist fight and fucking that's chaos. That's warfare.
Chaos.
I've done that. I'm the master of violence, Kenyon.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
He was writing people's names on the board. He was causing all kind of trouble.
I think I did do that once. I was erasing stuff off the board and having fun with it. Did you ever get in like serious trouble for going into the apartment or for anything else?
I didn't think we got caught. Like, we're just like those type of neighborhoods. I remember when I was a kid, like you lived in the hood. It just seemed like kids, you just, I don't know. You got more of a pass. Like if you were being bad, people were just like,
Yeah.
You little rascals. Like, I remember we went to like an adult party. This kid, I knew named Fred. He was like, "Yeah, we having a party." So I'm thinking, "Oh, it's like kids. This is like grown adults, like drinking, smoking. We're just in there like big kids." And the adults weren't even like, "Oh, get out of here." They were like, "All right, well, welcome to the party." Like, we're just in there dancing.
What? Wait, hold on. So who invited you to the party?
This kid I met named Fred. It's like the kid named Fred.
Oh, okay. What age are you? So are you like a middle schooler at this party?
I'm younger than that. I'm like an elementary school. I'm like an elementary school.
Yeah, I don't know how I would react if I was a grown-up at a party, like smoking a joint and being like, "Is that someone's kid?
Is that an actual child?
And it was like six of us. It was like me.
Oh, shit. Is that a kid's birthday party right now at this party?
And we were just coming through, and it was like dark in the living room, and we were just coming through like we own the place. Like, "Yeah, what's up, party? See you." and they just kept like drinking out the solo cups. Like, what the hell?
But nobody were you grabbing a solo cup? Were you just?
I think we were trying to reach for something. I think some lady. It's always a woman stepped in. Like, all right, go.
Yeah,
but she didn't even do. She just like, shoot. It wasn't even like, "Oh, bad, get out of here." It was just like, "Shoot, get away from the drinks. Don't leave the party. Get away from the drinks."
It was just like, yeah, exactly. Like shooing a dog away. Like, not on the table. Not on the table.
Not on the table. Not on the couch. Not on the couch. Get out of here. we just kept being in this party.
Yeah, man. Well, what kind of dad did you have?
Oh, boy. The best, the non-existent, not there.
The best guy.
The best
kind of dad. Dads are overrated, man.
Overrated.
I like to quote your joke you have about it where they're just a horrible roommate, because it's like, "Man, you fucked my mom and you ate my Pop Tarts." a brilliant take, which is like, I think especially you get older, and especially if your dad's like kind of a dysfunctional moron, like, you know, in my you're just sort of like, this is just like an older, really shitty version of me. Like, "Fuck my mom." This is pretty much this ridiculous human
this bigger person is like, you're not even that smarter than me. You're just bigger and you fucking my mom raw.
It's just a tree with more circles around it. Like, well, you've been around for anything else you have to offer.
Literally, everybody I talk to that has like a dad in their life and they're like, "Bro, it ain't that crazy." It ain't all that. You ain't missing much.
Mine is like I have a boss for a job that doesn't pay me.
Unpaid internship.
Yeah, it's an unpaid internship going absolutely nowhere, but I've still got to report to him and be like, I'm doing well, sir. Doing my job.
There's still a dress code. You're like, what is that dress code?
Yeah. Just because it's Christmas, I got to wear pants. This is fucking
bullshit.
We got into an argument once because he wanted me to wear khakis on Christmas. And I'm like, nobody. It was a whole thing.
That seems, it's like, who cares? You're like, whatever. No one else is going to look at me. I'm not going out. Like, I have to wear
exactly. My point was that it's Christmas. Yeah. We had all been drinking too much. That was the problem. Drink too much on Christmas.
Any sort of debate when a lot of alcohol in your body is the opening for a fight. You're like, if this person doesn't 100% agree with you, like it's easily to become an actual fist
fight. It's a fucking preamble. So, Nick, are you not leaving nothing out, are you? Because you say khakis. Maybe he was just saying, hey, Nick, put on some pants. It's Christmas. Maybe you should wear anything.
Nick was, we were all drinking. Nick's like drunk on Christmas, making his mom cry. And he's like, can you please put on some pants?
I specifically remember.
Holding the 40 ounce in your underwear. And you're like, it's Christmas, goddamn.
It's Christmas, damn it. Like, well, just wear it. You can keep your shirt off, but at least pants. Maybe pants? You're like, fuck you, dad. Fucking bitch.
No, I had PJ pants on, and the minute it turned 12 in the afternoon, my dad was like, it's not the morning anymore, son. You've got to put pants on. And I was like, really, dad? I've got to put pants on Christmas? And he goes, the fuck you say, lad? If I say you put pants on, you put bloody pants on.
Oh shit! How old are you? I hope this happened. Like,
no, I was like 18.
I hope it was like last Christmas. I say you put pants on. You just got like 25-year-old me.
25-year-old me with a vape pen under my shirt. Like, what the fuck's your problem?
You're fucking tripping, dude.
I really would love that little power play, but like, you're like a grown man. Like, that would be
that'd be hilarious.
Really perfect.
Oh my god.
Well, did you ever meet your dad, Dehaj?
Oh, yeah. I met him. I remember one of the clearest, like, memories of him was, I think my dad was, my mom was like, all right, I guess me and my brother were being bad, whatever. So she's like, all right, y'all going to stay with him for a weekend? Because I can't take this shit anymore. So she chopped us off. And my dad was so weird the entire weekend, bro. He was such a fucking weirdo the entire time.
Yeah. He was also like, what? Like, all three of you guys were like, what? What's going on? When she was I'm sick of this shit. You're staying with him.
I feel like it's like being popped for a crime that you got away with like 10 years ago. He's like, oh, I thought I successfully got rid of these kids as part of my life. And now they're like, you got to stay here. And he's like, is this going to be a long-term thing? He's like, it seemed like I was pretty much out of it. Now I got to sit here and pretend like, hey, I'm your dad, technically. And you're like, hey, I know we've actually never had a conversation, but you got to respect me for some reason. You know, it's just sort of
100%.
Was he trying to be overly nice or anything? Was he trying to be like, hey, you can get whatever you want from the store, considering the fact that I don't really know you?
I wish you put in that much effort. He was just being like very like stiff and I don't know what to fucking do with this. Like, I remember we're sitting in the living room. He would not turn the lights on. In the living room.
That's
really weird. That's
a pretty big sign that someone doesn't like you there.
I'm like, bro,
lights in the room.
Once the sunlight was gone, it was just darkness. It was just me, my brother, and this Mexican lady just confused in the dark while he played Resident Evil on some whatever game system.
What a clear metaphor about what is this. Yeah, I'm trying to keep you guys in the dark your whole life.
Exactly, 100%.
What a clear just. You never had to be confused with that man's intentions were. It's like, no, I think he genuinely didn't give a fuck about me.
100%. Because I remember I was so little. He's playing Resident Evil, and he's got the volume like on full blast. And I remember being like scared because it was like a scary, whatever.
Scary as shit. Yeah.
For a little kid. And he's full blast. He's not being like, he's not noticing that I'm like in fear. Fucking playing. He's ignoring this new Mexican bitch he's with, ignoring me, my brother. He's just playing his game. We just around him.
That's such a crazy thing to me, because I, for some reason, when I play video games, I don't want anybody in the room. It's like a shameful act. I don't want anybody to see me,
like,
doing
masturbation.
It.
Like, oh, this is for me.
Yeah. Yeah. But to bring everybody in and just be like, sit down, no lights.
No lights.
Blast.
Turn the light on.
What if he left you guys just to play video games? Like, he's just like, no, I'm just, I'm not going to turn the lights on. I'm close to getting the high score.
I'm so close. Just hold on for a second.
That dedicated. Like, at first I just thought he was an asshole. Now I'm just like, oh, maybe he's just like a level of nerd that you don't like people in South Korea that play for 3 days straight and like die. I'm like, oh, this guy, he's on that level.
Yeah, he has goals. He's like, look, just give me a second. I'm going to play with you in a second.
I need another 10 years, man. I can't.
And instead of going to gas to get a cigarette, he told your mom, he was like, I'm going to GameStop. And then just never,
never came
back.
Never came back. He's like, look. He's like, look, when I get the high score, I'll come back. I'll fucking come back.
Was that the last time you spent time with him?
That was the last time we like were together, like, in the same room. Probably a little while after that, he called me. He was like, I don't know. He was giving me something about, yeah, I'm going to get you some shoes. He just kept going on about, yeah, I'm going to get you some shoes. And I'm like, no. I'm like, what? Okay. And he never got them.
Something beautiful about, like, he brought, like, his conscience finally hits him for one point. He's like, how can I get some shoes? Obviously, we get some shoes. That'll fix the whole thing.
That'll fix a lot of shoes, man.
That'll fill the void in our relationship. And then, like, he sobered up and he's like, I'm not getting that motherfucker some shit.
Like, I'm not getting him shit. He's like, well, fuck it, I'm playing a game.
That's so crazy. Yeah. That he sounds like, you know how, like, scammers will call you sometimes? That's how your dad is, like, represented in your life. Like, he'll just call you randomly and just be like, hey, you want some shoes? Okay. Well, and then nothing will happen.
Yeah. You are eligible for a very important offer. You're giving you shoes, making you feel like you're a loved and wanted son for this one-time payment of.
All we need is your credit card information.
Yeah, and we get this going right away. Like, that is a level.
Give me a second.
I'd also be like, if I was him, I'd be like, well, I gotta at least get this. Like, at least buy the man some like shitty Target shit. I imagine you were a little kid.
Like, a little kid, it wouldn't even have been expensive. Yeah, some little shitty light up shoes. It would have not have been that hard. It's like, nah, I can't come through with that.
Yeah, come on.
I gotta get the new Resident Evil. I can't buy the shoes.
Yeah, get real here.
Grow up. Exactly. Well, so obviously he doesn't know you do comedy, right? Oh, he's gone. Well, just like his dad, he literally just left without saying anything.
That's funny. That's hilarious. How much time are we at? Could we?
We're almost there anyway. But
yeah, nice. A couple last minutes would be okay.
Shit. Sorry.
That's okay. That's kind of funny.
I do got one more.
Like father, like son, you just dip.
Yeah, just disappear without a warrant.
Hereditary.
I do got one more. So then that scammer analogy is perfect, because that's exactly, because after that, like 10 years later, no contact. He goes, my mom is like, she's going back to school. So he sees her, she's like walking home. So he sees her, he picks her up. He's like, oh, you know, drops off. And I'm looking, like, I'm a little kid. I see my mom. I'm like looking through the blinds. I'm like, who the fuck is this? That's how foreign my dad is to me. I don't even recognize him. I'm like, who's this light-skinned dude? Who the fuck is this guy?
Wow. That's so crazy, Josh.
And then he's like, and then he's talking. And then he gets in the car, leaves. I'm talking to my mom. I'm like, who the fuck was that? She's like, oh, that's your dad. I'm like, oh, jeez. And then
you're like, wait, I have one of those?
Who? Like, who? So, yeah, it's your dad. Like, okay. And then he's like, he starts, you know, he gets a number. He's talking to her. And he's saying all this fucking. This is why I started putting it together in my head, I think. Because before, I'm a little kid. Then I think the wheels start turning like, oh, my dad ain't shit. Because he starts talking about shit like, oh, yeah, I'm going to teach him how to be a man, you know. like all this like macho-y kind of shit. So he's like, we're gonna go out to dinner. So he plans his dinner, and then me and my brother, you know, we all like, all right, we're gonna go to a dinner. Guess we're just gonna meet this dude again, just have a dinner. And so we, you know, we get dressed up just like your dad, Nick. I put on the khakis. I put on a sweater, my brother in a sweater, my sister in like a dress. You know what I mean? Like, we're doing it. Like, all right,
right.
We're gonna fucking dinner. I don't know. This is gonna be weird and fun, but whatever. And then he stood us up.
No way. Fuck him forever.
Oh, he sucks. He sucks hard. There's a line where dads go from like, oh, you're like a fuck up, and it's like we can laugh about it to like, you just suck.
Just ultimate suck. He is a scammer, dude. He's like a dad scammer.
Yeah, it's also, what do you gain from that? It's like, you feel like if you're dad, you're like, okay, I suck. Let me try out from their life and then suck. But then you could tell it's like, nah, the conscious hits. He's like, yeah, I'm going to teach him how to be a man. Step one to being a man. Breaking people's hearts. Like, let me show you how it's done. You raise their expectations. Slaughter them. Take their stuff. Demolish it. Make him commit.
Decimate it.
Like, that's just Jesus Christ.
I'm sitting in there in the fucking living room in my best sweater, looking like a fool. Tweedling my fucking thumbs. I'm like, God damn.
Now I'm just gonna eat Chick-fil-A in nice clothes, and fucking that's gonna be it.
That's it. I didn't know. I'm like, bro, this dude's complicated. I remember he stands us up, and then he calls my mom like late at night, like, hey, he tried to make it like, oh, I want to, because we're little kids, we go to bed at like 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
my mom not dumb. She calls, like, yeah, I want to check on them, what they doing. She's like, they sleep. And then my mom was like, oh, you trying to fuck. Like, you called me to see if you can fuck, like, sneak in and fuck. And then, yeah. He was like,
I love that confidence of like, I fucked up, but let's just see if I can still, let's see if I can
still hit it.
Yeah. And make another kid, make another kid that I can leave, please.
One more.
Yeah.
Go for the trifecta of broken hearts here.
Let's do it. I'm like, yo, what the heck got fucking gusto?
I guess. That was wild.
Well, Dehaj, I think, we got to go, but thanks so much for coming on. Do you want to plug? I know Dehaj has a podcast. I've been on it, and it's so much fun.
Do I have a podcast, baby?
No kids in here.
No kids in here, officer.
No kids in here, officer. It's really good. Renee also, I think we plugged it on his episode too. He kind of puts that together, but yes. Dehaj is on it.
He does everything. I'm on it. I contribute nothing, but I am there.
Which I hate to say this, Dehaj, is not a good longevity plan for the podcast to have the man with terminal cancer be the one who does everything. But
terrible plan.
Listen, God bless Renee. I love him, and he's going to make it because we all joke about it. So he's going to make it.
He's going to make it. Laughter is the best medicine, maybe.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Again, Dehaj, it was a ton of fun, man. Thanks so much for coming on.
Appreciate you guys having me, man. Thank you.
Yeah, man. Have a good one.
Peace.
Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it, and keep listening. Thank you so much.